Later this month, Facebook plans to list its shares on the Nasdaq stock exchange. That means anyone will be able to easily buy the company's shares. But sophisticated investors have already been purchasing pieces of Facebook and many other hot tech stocks on private exchanges. From member station WNYC, Ilya Meretz reports that trading in private company shares is likely to get more popular thanks to recent changes in the law.
Tradition says that the life cycle of a new company might look something like this. Birth, the founder starts her business. Childhood, angel investors and venture capital help the business to grow. And when the company makes an IPO or initial public offering, it's reached adulthood. But today, some companies are postponing that step. They're staying teenagers for longer and hanging out in private secondary markets where investors like Talmadge O'Neill can find them.
I've done investments in BrightSource, eHarmony, LinkedIn, which went public, Dropbox, and Redfin.
Also Facebook and Tesla, the car maker.
So what's the total amount of your own money that you've spent buying shares through secondary markets in the past few years?
I am probably between $25 and $30 million.
It's a lot of cash, and every one of those purchases O'Neill made without ever seeing a quarterly earnings statement. In the market for private company shares, it's not required.
Generally, on a lot of these things, you're going by gut. You're saying, I like the product. I think the company is doing well. The news that I read in TechCrunch or All Things Digital or any number of one of these kind of technology blogs, it all looks good.
Trading in private company shares has grown from practically nothing to several billion dollars in just a few years. Fueling that growth is the boom in technology startups like Twitter, Hulu, and Spotify. Employees at these companies sometimes get part of their pay in stock. After a few years, staffers may want to cash out. Secondary markets like SharesPost and Second Market match sellers to buyers. And that worries Harvard Law professor John Coates.
There's no agency looking over their shoulder to make sure that they don't have conflicts of interest or know about problems that they're not revealing to the people trading on their exchanges.
The Securities and Exchange Commission doesn't directly oversee what are known as secondary markets, but it does require that all buyers be accredited investors with income above $200,000 or assets of $1 million or more. The biggest platform for trading in private shares is Second Market in downtown Manhattan.
Welcome. This is our lobby. And first, we'll make a left.
Aishwarya Iyer is my guide. She takes me to a trading floor with men and a few women sitting at computer terminals. Around the corner, there's a foosball table and a pantry where all 100 or so employees are allowed to take a beer from the fridge on a Friday afternoon. Second Market is 8 years old, and it has a startup atmosphere.
It's like a schizophrenic DNA that we have because we're such an interesting mix of finance and tech.
Ali Bird is a senior vice president here. He says Second Market has tightened its procedures and now requires companies to disclose their financial condition to buyers.
And that level of disclosure is, you know, pretty high in terms of the financial performance, the risk factors, and in many instances, access to the management of the company.
Still, it's well short of the quarterly reports, internal controls, and auditing required of public companies. Earlier this year, Second Market laid off 10% of its staff. The likely reason is that its biggest attraction, Facebook, is leaving to go public. But even without Facebook, there are reasons to believe private markets will thrive.
My name is Barry Silbert, and I'm the founder and CEO of Second Market. I'm grateful for the opportunity to testify this afternoon.
Last year, Second Market's founder appeared 3 times before Congress. He asked lawmakers for changes that would help his business grow, raising the number of shareholders a company can have before registering with the SEC, and lifting a ban on marketing private stock directly to investors. In April, President Obama signed those changes into law as part of the Jobs Act. Again, John Coates.
I really do think the two pieces together are going to have a combined effect that's more powerful than any other piece of the bill. And more powerful, I think, even than the backers of the bill may be expecting.
That's just a guess, of course. The more immediate effect will be that successful startups can push back the point at which they need to do an IPO. Instead, they'll be able to live up their teenage years in lightly regulated private markets. For NPR News, I'm Ilya Meretz in New York.
We've been hearing a lot about the Facebook IPO lately, but we haven't heard anything from Facebook itself, and that's because of rules known as the quiet period.
The consequences are high, and the benefits are relatively low when it comes to not being very careful during the quiet period.
And we'll have that story tomorrow here on the Business News from Morning Edition.